everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we're back for the second part of It's All About Food here on this very chilly January 7th, 2014. All right, now continuing talking about my favorite subject, food, only we're going to look at it a little differently now. And I'm going to bring on my second guest, Elizabeth Kucinich, who is with the Center for Food Safety. She's an experienced advocate and government affairs professional. And she was originally with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she advocated prevention over cure, nutrition over drugs, and human relevant research and training over the use of animals. And we're going to hear more about the Center for Food Safety with Elizabeth Kucinich. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
I met you a couple of Decembers ago at the PCRM Leadership Conference, and that was an amazing event. I was so inspired with what PCRM was doing and is doing, and the work that you were doing.
Yeah, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is just a super organization. It was such a privilege to work with them for a number of years.
Now, Center for Food Safety is working on all kinds of issues that we talk about a lot on this program, genetic engineering and seeds and factory farms, organic food, food safety. What are you working on?
All of the above and a little bit more. So obviously the whole question of GMOs is a really hot topic, and there have been, obviously, as people I'm sure are aware, there's state ballot initiatives, and there are a number of initiatives that are coming up this year. People are filing them, so that's exciting. And then we've got, obviously, the federal legislation, which is the Right to Know Act. So that's the one question of GMOs and just the labeling, really. But we work on really a vision for food and for agriculture, which really is that the way we grow food and the way that we eat food is going to be a way that really sustains us and sustains the planet. And when we think of the way that we're growing our food now, I can't imagine that we'll be doing it in this way in 1,000 years' time. Can you imagine hundreds of millions of tons of chemicals that we put on our land every single year to grow our food? It's not sustainable in any way, whether it be because of the toxins that we're eating, the toxins that are going into our water, into our air, into our bodies, or just the fact that we're coming to peak oil and all these chemicals are petrochemicals. You know, they're made from oil. So there's lots of different things that we need to be considering. And so helping our society to transition to a truly sustainable food system is something that's really very, very important to everybody.
Now, this whole genetic engineering thing, I want to say it's a hot topic, and yet it isn't that hot in most people's lives because most people aren't talking about it. They don't know about it. They don't understand it. And unfortunately, some people spread a lot of incorrect information about it.
Yeah.
And it's really messy.
Anything that is slightly complex is always going to be messy, and anything that is has different people from with alleged sides going against each other, there's going to be a lot of spin in messaging, and there's people who get confused in the middle. And so we really try to simplify things, but you know, basically on the GMO question, when it comes to labeling, it is that you have a right to know. We're not making any claims one way or another whether it's safe or unsafe. It's just you have a right to know what you're eating. From a personal point of view, my own concern is that the genetically modified foods that are out there, that are in around 90% of the processed foods that people eat, have been genetically engineered not to do something really nice and fluffy to feed the world and to overcome the challenges of climate change and drought issues, but really have been bred for or genetically engineered for two purposes. One is to produce pesticides. So we have a type of GMO which is pesticide producing, and the pesticide itself is found in a number of plants, only not in the high concentration that it is found in the genetically engineered crops. And so this means that it is a pesticide, so it kills animals or kills pests that that go onto it. But also it means that we are ingesting that. So what does that mean to our human health? Well, we need longitudinal studies on that, but people's own precaution could be that they can choose whether to or not to to choose it should that be labeled in a supermarket. The other kind of GMO that there is herbicide resistant. So that means that a plant can grow from a genetically engineered seed, and it can be sprayed with a type of chemical that it has been engineered to be resistant to. At the moment, it's glyphosate, which is Roundup. If people have gone to their stores and they spray their weeds in their garden, which I ask you please don't do that, but they do. But that Roundup then is sprayed directly onto the crop, and really for the first time we're directly ingesting those low levels of herbicides in our diet, because plants actually are able to withstand those chemicals.
They're smarter than we are.
So there's those two issues, and what's gone on from that. We can see this starting this chemical warfare now. So we've got the pesticide producing GMOs, genetically modified organisms that are growing, and the pests that are meant to be dying from it. Now you see now over 500 different kinds of pests have actually become resistant to that kind of toxin. Mm. And so the answer to that, if you're looking at it logically, would be to increase the level of chemical that is engineered, so that we'd be, producing more, it would be stronger, and the pest presumably wouldn't be tolerant to it immediately. But again, what would that mean to our health? Well, on the other side, when we're talking about herbicide resistance, there's many crops now that are many kinds of weeds that are resistant to this kind of herbicide, to glyphosate. So there's an estimated 80 million acres of American cropland that are blighted now with herbicide-resistant weeds. So again, the logical sequence of that would be that the biotech companies would engineer seeds and therefore plants that would be resistant to even stronger kinds of chemicals, and that's exactly what's happening. So Dow Chemical has now got a seed which has stacked genetic traits, not only for glyphosate resistance, but also for dicamba and 2,4-D. And I don't know if you know, but 2,4-D is a major component of Agent Orange. So the only reason why you would have a seed that's resistant to 2,4-D is because you intend to spray it with 2,4-D. And we can't see all of those chemicals be going into our environment, into our food supply, into our water system. So we already know that so many, swaths and swaths of land in the United States and communities are blighted now with groundwater, which is completely toxic due to chemical applications from agriculture. So whether it is looking at, it from an ethical point of view, that people are uncomfortable with the technology, or from an environmental point of view, that the partnering with chemicals is unsustainable, we really do have the opportunity to have our voice heard, and that is exactly what I try to do in Washington, is to, help people to really understand what's going on and to have a stake in it.
From my point of view, when I talk about genetically modified foods, I like to steer away from whether it's good for us or not, because we just don't have enough information. But I like to steer towards what you were just talking about, the facts, the things that we clearly know that aren't working, and the fact that genetically modified foods enable us to continue all the wrong practices, and we need to change those agricultural practices.
Yep.
There was an article in the New York Times this weekend about what's going on in Kona, Hawaii, with a council member, Gregory Logan. Did you read that article or heard about it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And, I like the New York Times, and I like a lot of the stuff that they talk about, but sometimes when I read an article and I, scream at an occasional paragraph, no one hears me. and I appreciate this council guy trying to get the information, but I really – did he talk to you?
The thing about that article is that they very selectively chose who they quoted in the article and quoted from the hearing. There was some, as I understand it, and I was not there, I actually wouldn't consider myself as qualified. We have wonderful attorneys and wonderful scientists that we work with, and they're the kind of people that I would want to see really doing a hearing on this. But yeah, really good people were speaking at that hearing, and so for a journalist to choose some quite sketchy examples of what was said is really very underhand thing to do, and it's very sad that such a credible newspaper should choose to do that. And you know, to it was a very cleverly written article.
Yeah.
It was extremely cleverly written, that it seemed very, very reasonable. But when you do understand the facts of what's going on, and you understand what was included and then what was completely conveniently excluded, it was very sad. But anyway, we focus on the good things that are happening, which really is that Hawaii is mobilizing. And, you know, there's obviously a great deal of motivation. I mean, and the thing that Hawaii really does have to be concerned about is that it is a test bed for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a direct threat to their environment and to everything that's going on. And, you know, being an island, that I'm sure that has some kind of bearing on the fact and the reason why biotech likes to go there. I mean, it's surrounded by a lot of water. If something goes wrong, then the chances of it spreading across are a lot slimmer than if you do something on the mainland. So what I got from that article is that obviously there's a lot of miscommunication, and of course from our side as well, there's a lot of people who understand innately that there's something wrong, but we really need to help people get to the facts and you know, be able to put the best foot forward.
Yeah. So how do our politicians learn, and how do they respond to you, and do they give you enough opportunity to present your side of the story, or the Center for Food
Safety? Well, you know, my husband, Dennis Kucinich, former member of Congress, before I worked for the Center for Food Safety, when he was chair of government oversight subcommittee on domestic policy, he held hearings on GMOs and
mm-hmm.
on herbicide-resistant weeds and the superweeds, as they're termed. And so, you know, there has been opportunity. There have been discussions. It obviously is in the congressional record from a few years ago. And I think that what I really love, and I actually often mention this when I do events on the Hill, is that, you know, I'll get a congressional staffer that will come up to me, and it won't necessarily be because they've heard something, you know, because a constituent has rant and raved on a phone call or they've received some letters, but they'll say to me, why is my wife making me eat organic? And I'm like, yes, this is fantastic, you know, because the message is being received and people don't live in a bubble. So, you know, there's lots of different ways in which people receive a message and become interested in something. But the most significant thing for me as an activist and as somebody who works in policy is that food is such a great consequence to everything that we care about, ourselves being, you know, obviously right there first and foremost. Our physical health is obviously completely reliant on the food that we eat. And I'm glad that you mentioned the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, because they do extraordinary work looking at the opportunity to prevent and reverse disease through the food choices that you make, and partnered with, you know, the work that we do at Center for Food Safety, really looking at the way in which our food is grown to really try to make sure that it is as pure as possible and as least contaminated as possible. You know, that's very important. So from our own health to the health and well-being of animals, the environment, everything is connected to the food that we eat. And as an activist, it's immediate. You know, every time that you eat, you're making a decision. You're making a decision as to the way in which agricultural policy is moving forward and the way in which certain companies are making money. So if you're buying, if you can, locally sourced organic produce, then your money is going to something that is supporting where you want, you know, agriculture to move and where you want our food system to move. If you're going to, you know, a chain restaurant and buying something that's deep fried and highly processed, then, mm-hmm. you know, that's where you're choosing for your money to go, and that's what you're supporting. So I don't necessarily support the idea of, you know, consumerism being the solution to anything, but the fact that we are consumers and have to consume food every day in order to live, you know, this is extremely convenient for a food movement.
It's the very least thing that we can do. Buy the food that represents
food.
What we believe in and,
yep.
and is the best for us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so most of us are not really impressed with what's going on in our government these days. Is there anything good going on with food?
I think that there is. We do have a lot of movement in the question of food. We do have a lot of members of Congress now really asking questions and very interested in what's going on. As I've mentioned before, there is the labelling bills and a number of other different things that are being worked on. And the general population really is helping to drive that. They're really helping to make sure that food starts to become front and center. And last year we had some very, very significant victories in the food movement where some very destructive policies were actually stripped out of bills because of the, I think now the political might that the food movement is showing that it has. So one of those things was what was dubbed the Monsanto Protection Act, that was the CRs. And that was, first of all, the initial one that got in was made so it was only relevant to the lifetime of the bill, which was 6 months. And then when they had to renew the bill, that provision was stripped completely. So, you know, for people to really take on such big interests at such a time, in such a contentious political environment and win, I think says a lot for what we're really managing to achieve.
Is Monsanto really that evil?
You know, I'm actually somebody how can I put this? I don't like to think in terms of polarities. I think there's good and bad in everything. I think that, you know, biotech has a most fantastic business model. I mean, if you're someone who believes in the bottom line of investments and shares and things, and you want to patent genes and you want to be able to basically monopolize over a food supply, you know, you're onto a very good thing. For the rest of us, not necessarily a good thing, but for yourself, it's great. but, you know, I think that there's ways of thinking about food and about solutions to problems that we have and about visions too, as to where it is that we want to move towards. And, you know, as I said, I want to see a food system that really will comfortably take us into the next 1,000 years. It will be able to feed our growing populations, but also at the same time not be destroying our population's health by the methods in which we're producing the food. So
does the Center for Food Safety have a vision of what that future looks like?
Yeah, so we see really, I think the basis really is organic as the foundation. So, you know, at the moment we can think in terms of GMOs are obviously, as we said, a big button issue, but you can think in terms of them being the most contaminated because of the chemicals that they encourage to be partnered with the growing methods. Conventional, or what is quote-unquote termed conventional, can be anything. And so we can say that's moderately contaminated because we're not sure that the highest level of contaminants and destructive chemicals are actually applied to it. But many, many chemicals can be applied to and are applied to the fruit and vegetable that you eat under contaminated. And then conventional. And then as organic, it's not perfect, but it's as good as we've got under the labeling system now, and that is, we would say, that's minimally contaminated. And seeing as organic would be the foundation stone for where we would like to see the food system move, and on top of that, we would like to see appropriate scale, humane, socially just, though there's labor laws, and the workers really do have rights. At the moment, we see so many people who have pesticide poisoning and terrible effects from the different things that they've been exposed to whilst growing our food. And so there's a number of different levels to a food system, but everything that we do really, really works to those bottom lines of local, appropriate scale, humane, sustainable, socially just, and biodiverse. So they would be where we'd like to see agriculture go.
Now, I'm a vegan for 25 years or more, and I'm always promoting the power of plants. animal agriculture, CAFOs, what's your feeling about them, and is there any hope to not see them in the near future?
There are the very large companies like Smithfield who have said that they will outlaw things like gestation crates, albeit in a very, very long time. And, you know, there's movement within the system that we see, but to be honest, it's not a sustainable system, and it's mm-hmm. a very big and unwieldy thing. And our government, you know, our tax dollars are really going to support the subsidizing of cheap feed and other different things that is obviously not sustainable. On the outside of that is a great externalization of costs. So all of the waste that comes out of these industrial animal factories is awful, and it's not processed like human waste is. They don't have systems that process the water. They're actually just put into big pits and left for some time and then sprayed on fields that are saturated. It goes into the water, groundwater, it goes into the rivers, it goes into the oceans. We've got the dead zones in the Gulf, in the Chesapeake Bay, so big environmental consequences and, of course, absolutely abhorrent conditions for the animals. So we do, as a Centre for Food Safety, does work on litigation, does work on upholding environmental regulations and pushes for humane practices. But, of course, brilliant organizations like the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine really show people how, really, if you want to prevent and reverse disease, this is the way that you eat, and it's a plant-strong diet. It's one that's really based in eating foods that come from plants.
You mentioned upholding regulations, and I know that there are regulations that our government has and that very often they're broken, and either the government can't afford it or they just turn a blind eye, but even the ones that we have aren't often followed. How do we get them upheld?
Well, you know, we're in an interesting political time when government is seen as a very, very bad thing, and therefore regulation is seen as a very bad thing, except that when we realize that we need it to make sure that our food is safe and to make sure that our water is clean and things like that. So we need to start to really turn the debate on that, I think. It's an enormous, enormous issue.
Yeah.
We work on a local, state, and federal level. So on a local level, we look actually at things, not only at pollution and the breaking of local environmental laws, and try to encourage people to take matters that are necessary, but we also look at zoning to actually prevent things from being built. We need to make sure that regulations are upheld, and the thing that CFS does is we litigate where the government refuses to regulate. So when the government isn't doing what it needs to do, when it isn't actually upholding the letter of the law and is encouraging, therefore, people to break standards, then we come in and really try to force the issue. So, but sadly, you know, it shouldn't be left to a non-profit to do that.
I know. And you can only do so much.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's so much to do.
There is so much to do.
Oh, okay.
It sometimes becomes overwhelming when you think of it.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
All right. So we're...
CFS has had some great victories, so...
Well, that's good. So we can eat our plant foods. We can eat our organic plant foods. What else should we be doing?
Getting active. If people would like to sign up, come to our website, centerforfoodsafety.org. We are a very active organization. We have lots and lots of material on the website. We have shopper's guides and very practical things, but we also have activisty things. So if you want to get engaged and see what you can be doing either in your local area or federally, then, you know, there's resources for you there. So that's a really good thing. As I've said, not that I'm advocating consumerism, but every day you do eat. So, you know, choose wisely and obviously live within your means. But if there's a way that you can join a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Program, where you support a local farmer, preferably obviously an organic one or one that uses the least amount of chemicals possible, that's a wonderful way to really support good things happening in your community and to also keep the money in your community so you're helping to bring jobs and keep your own community thriving as well as your health. But really just open your eyes, and, you know, food is a very personal issue, and people often take great umbrage with people bringing it up, and it's not something that we need to force onto people, but I think there's an awakening happen, and just make sure that you get the facts from places like the Center for Food Safety, and then, you know, let people know when they come to you, share with them what you know.
We just have a couple of minutes, and I'm looking at the website right now, and I'm looking at your featured actions. Can we just talk briefly about Coca-Cola?
What would you like to talk about?
Coca-Cola and Monsanto having in common how they've been funding anti-labeling campaigns. Mm-hmm. Be careful what you're drinking.
Well, this is what, you know, what I'm saying is that where we put our money, the companies that we put our money in, is ultimately the policy that we get and the agricultural reality that is born, be it through the way that the companies themselves are directly growing or what they're putting their profits into.
But we don't, it's not that obvious. I mean, how many people know that Coca-Cola supported the Monsanto anti-labeling campaign?
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much out there that most of us don't know or don't have the time to know. And oh, goodness.
Look, it's an exciting world that one can explore and learn about.
There we go. Well, I think we're pretty safe if we're going for organic plant foods, minimally processed, whole, that
Absolutely.
We're avoiding most of the problems.
Yeah, because there's only five GMO crops out there, and so they're easy pretty much to avoid if you do go for that whole food, you know, plant-based options. Unprocessed, then, you know, most of the foods that you'll find, I'm sure, will be absolutely fine. And then again, if it has USDA organic written on it, and it's a little logo, it's a circular logo, then that's the logo to really look for. And that's, you know, a good basic standard to adhere to. So you know when food is not good for you to eat and drink anyway, so you should be regulating them within your diet. So
mm-hmm.
maybe not, you know, you might not be supporting the people at the GMA quite as much as maybe before.
Very good. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. Love your work. Love what you're doing. And
thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Have a wonderful 2014.
You too. Happy New Year.
Okay. Whee!
Future's bright.
Thank you. Visit centerforfoodsafety.org. There's so much information there that we all need to know about. And now we're at the end of the show, so thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. Have a very delicious week, and stay warm.